from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Well, happy Monday, all of you fine people out there in San Diego. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I shouldn't just say San Diego. We are, a lot of people listen to us in North Carolina and across the country.
The airport in Baltimore,
just everywhere. So we really appreciate all of you guys listening. Let's get our heads right on a Monday. Very proud of our San Diego Padres. Very, very, very proud. What a week. What a weekend. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. To my left is Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Benjamin, how are you?
Good morning. You got those Monday morning blues facing the long work week ahead of you, Woods?
No, I do not. I'm going to kiss the rally roach, though, right here. The rally roach has delivered and hopefully will continue to deliver. I can race it over to you. It's got wheels on it. There he comes. Give it a kiss, Ben.
Skittering around the floor because he fell off the table.
No, this is for me. Listen, I will be hitting the road tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We will be picked up and we will be taken to the airport, heading out to Kauai for a week. So I was lamenting the fact, I was going to miss you guys, but after what you did to me on Friday, I won't miss you. And I hope that every bit of content that you think of goes away. I hope after what you two put me through on Friday after the show.
And turnabout is sometimes fair play.
I think there's different versions of turnabout, and what you guys did to me, I will never forget. And you're both dead men, and I hate you both. I don't hate you. I love you, but I can't believe
the shoe is on the other foot.
There's got to be a part of you that respects the craft.
100%. Absolutely. I am so. There's a small part of me that's actually very proud of both of you, and that does not mean to be condescending. You're both absolutely brilliant at what you do, and you are so vital to the success of this show. But oh my God, what you guys did to me on Friday was the lowest
deviousness. In our nature,
it's not. Paul is like the least devious. Well, you're the least devious person. Paul is like the second least devious person. I'm pretty devious. And what you did to me is, I'll excuse you. I was going to say inexcusable, but that would mean that I wouldn't be here today. Right. I'll excuse it because it's probably going to be great content. I haven't heard it yet. I don't know that I can hear it. I think that I'm going to have to walk out of the room in shame. These guys got me so good on Friday, and we'll play the audio for you. At, let's do it at 8 a.m. I'll make you guys sit and wait.
Couple of hours just to wait to hear what it was.
What did we do?
You guys are mad scientists, both of you. Geniuses. Geniuses. But it was at my expense.
We really didn't have to do much. We just let you we let you take your imagination and let it start running away from you.
I hate you guys.
And just go. Like, we wound you up. And you just started going off like an alarm clock.
And what it does is it exposes the worst parts of me.
I was going to say.
The absolute worst parts of me.
Ben and I had a plan, and we mostly stuck to the plan, but the plan did change just a little bit based on how much of a lunatic you are.
So true. Am I red? Because I feel red. My ears are hot. So, yeah, at 8 o'clock, you'll hear how these two absolute a-holes just got me before I split town tomorrow. Somebody asked me over the weekend, "Now, you getting excited for your trip?" And I said, for the first time in my life, really, I purposefully said, I'm so excited about it that I'm not going to let myself get excited yet. Or I will, I'll drop the ball in here. I'll drop the ball at home. I need to stay focused. I need to stay busy. Otherwise, I'll just sit and like rock back and forth waiting to get on the plane to go. Cause we got a really great trip planned. And, I have purposely been, Ben, I haven't packed a thing. I haven't packed a thing. I haven't folded. I haven't organized anything. I'm going to do it all today. That's the minute we sign off here.
You don't need that much in paradise.
That's true.
A couple of bathing suits, t-shirts, a golf shirt or two, and you're good to go for a week.
Yeah, it's true. You don't need a ton. And where we're staying has laundry even, which is great. So, I mean, you don't really want to do laundry, but you will if you have to. So today is really the first day I've let myself get super excited, but it will not distract me from this show. I'm very excited to be here today because, my Lord, our San Diego Padres with an incredible, incredible road trip. We got the trade deadline, and it's been so busy around Major League Baseball. Just a ton to talk about. A ton to talk about. A ton to break down, discuss. And, you know, we actually had the conversation yesterday. I texted the guys and I said, I don't feel right about coming in on a Monday and being like, lost on Sunday again, right? Like, I was like, man, if anything, this team needs to be celebrated like crazy for the road trip that they just had. And I don't think that's homerism. I don't think that's flagship BS. I think that is the genuine way I feel. When we sat in the round table room the other day and we were all, Craig had a paper bag he was breathing into. I'm on, you know, I'm taking Xanax to calm down. We're on the razor's edge here of the whole season. And for those guys to go out and did what they did, you know, play like they played against the teams they did it against, bro, I can't sit in here and listen to it. It's a shame if they lose. Like, and by all accounts, they should have gotten bodied in that game yesterday, and they didn't. They even made that game a game.
When you look back at the nine games in three cities, they really had two bad innings.
Two bad innings. Yes, dude.
That's it. In the two games they lost, with the one bad inning in each, they outplayed their opponents in the pretty much other eight or so. I mean, they didn't score in the first game against Cleveland, but after that, they were as good of a baseball team as we've seen in years here on this road trip. Now,
how fantastic is that?
It is fantastic, Mike. Is it sustainable? Will they keep it going? Probably not forever. No baseball team does, but boy, just to know that they've got that in them kind of changes the equation a little bit, especially here at the trade deadline and how aggressive maybe you want to be and go, okay, this team, if you ask a team to say, hey, trade deadline's coming up, do you want to show us what you're made of or not?
100%.
They just showed us what they're made of and what is capable. So, yeah, I don't mind being a little more aggressive, which they were in the deal that they pulled off. And we'll talk about it, but the deal they pulled off to pick up one of the nicest relief pieces on the market. Gave up a lot, but I think it was probably a little bit easier to do for A.J. Preller after seeing how his team played on that road trip.
Two-name, by the way.
Yeah, notice that.
Two-name. Gets me every time.
Two first names.
Yeah, we just call it two-name. Jason Adam. Adam Jason. Jason Adam. I'll probably call him Adam Jason.
How about Alec Jacob?
Alec Jacob? Oh, that's a good one, too.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Excited to be here.
Two-name.
I think it's extra sweet because he's coming to the Padres now.
He is an absolute perfect fit for what we're looking for.
You know, MLB Network on in the studio right now, and they just did the five biggest trades of the weekend, including Jazz, of course, the Padres trade, Zach Eflin going to Baltimore. And I'm going, every single one of these trades that they just broke down involved a Florida team.
Yeah,
Miami,
man.
Or Tampa Bay. I'm like...
Two biggest sellers.
It's open season.
Everything
right
must
now.
Go.
It really is.
From Florida,
I mean,
right now.
Again, you. I don't know if the. I don't know what Peter Bendix's phone looks like right now, but I would imagine there's about 14 teams blowing that guy up right now. Just blowing him up because he still has starters.
Yeah.
He still has relievers he'd like to move. Tampa still has players they'd like to move. Pete Fairbanks, I think, is still on the market. Boy. Oh, man. Would love to have Pete. For multiple reasons, I'd love to have Pete Fairbanks here. He's a good dude. Really good stuff. And the post-game interviews would be great. But a lot of movement around baseball. We'll talk about that. I'm just, honestly, man, I'm so proud of these guys. I really am. And I just, they played their asses off, man. Since they got on that plane and they headed to Cleveland, they played their asses off, period. And it's very weird to come in. It sucks they didn't win on yesterday's game when they fought back. And there were a couple things, obviously, we can talk about and lament, certainly. But you couldn't have asked for anything better on that road trip. And I was honestly, dude, was what, 9 games?
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, 3-6 is what we're looking at. We were all talking
certainly
about.
Certainly was what I was afraid of, if not worse.
Yeah. I mean, we're sitting there talking about stay afloat. And
I mean, we were saying, you know, hey, worst case scenario, could they be sellers possibly if they don't come out of the gate, you know, swinging here in the second half of the season?
Yeah, there were those conversations certainly that were had. And again, you hate to keep beating this point home, but this team does feel different. It could be the Rally Roach. It could be something else. It could be Mike Schilt. It could be the embarrassment of last year. It could be Peter Seidler smiling down from above. You just have no idea. But whatever it is, it's certainly the most fun brand of Padres baseball I've seen in quite a while.
How about Xander Bogaerts? Xander Bogaerts.
Playing very, very well.
Makes a real difference when your stars play like stars.
That's right.
Even Manny, after a slow start to the road trip, heated up at the end. I mean, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back. Have we ever seen all three of them playing well at the same time, ever? I don't know that we really have for more than a day in the last year and a half. So could that happen down the stretch? What would that look like? That's been the dream this whole time, and we've never had a chance to see it. Can we possibly see it in August and September at some point when Tatis comes back? Still,
yeah, I mean, God, I mean, Soto played pretty consistently all year last year. Bogaerts had a pretty... He had an okay year.
A really good start.
Tatis had an okay year, but we've seen him play so much better, at least offensively. He just never really felt like Tatis all of last year. And Manny had an okay year.
Yeah.
But they never really were all four of those guys, or now three of them, firing on all cylinders.
They certainly never gelled. It never seemed like they gelled. And you never saw comebacks like yesterday. You just never saw it. They were dead in the water. I mean, you could literally turn the TV off when they got down 3-0. Three. You could 3-0, and you're like, they are.
Sometimes it felt like 1-0.
1-0. Yeah, they're not coming back. I can continue with my day. I can go hit balls. I can go help my wife do this. I can go, you know, go run errands. Honestly, 3-0 was my last year. I was like, that's it.
I know we'll get to all the games. We got the trade to break down, but Friday's game was the game of the weekend for me.
Oh, it was
that
spectacular.
Was the Jurickson Pro Far game.
There was nothing like it.
God.
Nothing like it.
Unbelievable.
Surprise. Padres are good.
Yeah, they're back in it.
Is that the takeaway from this road trip? We'll talk
sure
about it.
They sure good, man.
All right, let's take a timeout. We got a lot to get to. We'll set the menu for our Monday program. Tons of Padres talk, trade deadline talk. We are about 32 hours or so away from the trade deadline tomorrow afternoon. Still moves to be made. AJ Preller is still working the phones. We will talk about it coming
morning, guys.
Up. Next, with Ben and Woods, get our first check of traffic with Kelly Danick. And then here we go on a big week for your San Diego Padres and a big week here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I want to jump right into some trade analysis here. A fairly typical Monday in that we've got games to discuss from the weekend. Sammy Leavitt will join us at 8:35 with his weekly in-season Sammy appearance. Normal features, take on Woods, don't do this. You know where they show up. If you don't, stick around, you'll find out. Welcome to Ben and Woods. But we talk Padres here, and the Padres made a trade, went down yesterday morning, correct?
Yeah,
I believe officially went down yesterday morning, acquiring reliever Jason Adam from the Tampa Bay Rays, who have become full-on sellers, even though they're not out of it.
Right.
They're a winning record. They're like four and a half games out in the wild card race. But
the Rays way.
They're saving money.
Doing what the Rays do.
About $30 million in unloading Randy Arozarena and several other players as well. So the Padres trying to take advantage. But the Rays, of course, they're going to want maximum value in return for everything. And most people pretty much agree they got maximum value here for Jason Adam in Dylan Lesko, the Padres' number one pitching prospect and first-round draft pick from 2022, but a guy who has struggled to find his command coming off of the Tommy John surgery. Remember, he was recovering from the Tommy John when they drafted him.
Yeah.
And all the potential in the world, maybe the best high school arm in that draft, but has yet to kind of figure it out completely on the pro level. Still has some electric stuff, but has not done it. The Rays, I'm sure, feel like, oh yeah, we'll figure this guy out, and he'll be a number two, number three starter for us in 2 or 3 years. But Padres don't want to wait that long. They need help now. They also traded Homer Bush Jr., another high draft pick from a couple of years ago, and catcher J.D. Gonzalez, good defensive guy who's trying to figure it out with the bat, but three of their top 20 prospects for a reliever, not even a starting pitcher or relief pitcher in Jason Adam. But one, even if you haven't heard the name, which is fine because, playing in Tampa Bay, maybe you haven't heard of Jason Adam, but one of the top right-handed relievers in the game right now. Certainly maybe the best one that was available at the trade deadline. Really going to upgrade the Padres' bullpen down the stretch, and then has two more years of arbitration control left, so the Padres can pencil him into the bullpen in 2025 and 2026 as well.
You know, there was the old adage, and I think we here in San Diego, AJ Preller, they've done a good job to dispel the old don't trade with the Rays scene, you know. And listen, we've made some deals with them over the past 5-6 years, certainly. And, you know, Ken Rosenthal even marveled. He said one rival executive marveled at the ability of Padres general manager AJ Preller to move Dylan Lesko for significant value, right? Like, coming off TJ, really, again, the command has been all over the place. 74 walks in 102 and two-thirds professional innings. But the Rays look at him and they go, okay, we'll take a crack at him. It's worth an eighth inning guy, a high leverage arm at the back end of our bullpen when we're probably not going anywhere on a project like Dylan Lesko. And they're going to throw in Homer Bush, who maybe we think we can help swing the bat a little bit better. And then they throw in JD Gonzalez. The more I look at it, I go, this is just straight up what we needed. We needed him.
You know, there's a chance that Dylan Lesko ends up being a big first round bust. There's still a chance he ends up being a productive, you know, number two, number three starter. If he does, well, then the Tampa Bay Rays probably win this trade. If he's a bust, then the Padres got something pretty valuable for a guy that was never going to pan out. Call it the ultimate bird in the hand, Jason Adam, you know what you're getting, versus two plus Homer Bush kind of trade.
I'd say, yeah, something like that. Oh, two plus Homer Bush.
Yeah.
Two in the hand, one in the bush.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Bush.
But you know what? Clever.
You pretty much know what you're getting with Jason Adams.
You
consistency,
absolutely do.
Sub 3 ERA, eighth inning guy. I mean, not as valuable as a starting pitcher with 6 years of control.
No.
But
of course,
you don't know that you'll ever get that with Dylan Lesko. So they're just taking a sure thing, or as close to a sure thing as you're going to get, a productive reliever. It's going to be around for 2+ seasons. You've got some control,
and
he can help you right now, which Dylan Lesko, Homer Bush, and JD Gonzalez, they weren't helping you this season. Probably next season.
Anytime you see a 3-for-1, it immediately you go into retreat mode. Every time. It doesn't matter who it is or who it's for, you go, right? And once you really kind of break it down, you know, listen, I remember everyone being losing our minds because they traded Luis Patino, right? Like, losing our minds. Patino is back with the Padres now. The interesting part about this one, though, the very funny and interesting, strange part about the Jason Adam coming back to San Diego is that, well, we had him.
Yeah, of course.
We had him here, and we DFA'd him here.
At some point, everyone's passed through the
Padres. That's exactly right. Air Tatis tweeted, Preller traded a 2022 first, Lesko, a 2023 third, Gonzalez, and a 2023 fourth, Bush, for a guy he waived in Jason Adam in 2017, which is absolutely accurate. And but again, something has clicked in his career. Thank you to the Rays for figuring that out. Now they think they can do the same with Dylan Lesko. More power to him. We needed this guy. We needed this guy at the back end of our bullpen. And it you know, hopefully should really, really help.
JWW in the chat says, I thought Homer Bush was going to be our future outfield star. It wasn't the reports that I was hearing on Homer Bush. Not that he's bad.
No, they
certainly think he's going to make it to the big leagues at some point, but the descriptions I were hearing was more of a Jose Azokar plus, like a really strong fourth outfielder type is what he was projecting as. Now, maybe he exceeds those projections and becomes a valuable everyday player at some point. I'm sure the Rays are, you know, dreaming on that and hoping that he's more than just that. But the scouts were kind of saying, there's a ceiling there. They didn't see superstar. They saw a really athletic, great defender, maybe some bat, but not someone that they expect to be a perennial all-star. So I'm not sure that the Padres were that, it was that tough to give up on Homer Bush Jr. there. No offense, but that was the scouting report on Homer Bush right now.
Yeah, it's never personal. I mean, and it can't be here in San Diego. It's hard to get attached to prospects and stuff because there's a good chance they'll be shipped out. Our buddies at Friars on the Farm put in the chat, I've watched Lesko starts, flashes of absolute dominance, but that's just it, flashes. And, you know, they looked at that in Tampa and said, we can take those flashes, make him more consistent. We're willing to take a chance on this. And again, it's not like AJ Preller set the market with this thing. This is what it's costing right now. He for once, was a little bit, I don't want to say late to the party, but usually he's like the first guy. And he was like the fifth guy in at the table this year.
Picture it this way. You go into the store. You need a gallon of milk. It's just something you need. Padres need a relief pitcher. Unfortunately, the only store that is open is Whole Foods. And you go, and they look at the milk, and it's like, this is $7 a gallon. But there's nowhere else open, and you need milk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Christmas morning tomorrow, and you need milk for whatever you're making, your pancakes and everything. And you need it. So what do?
You got to buy
it. You pay the $7 for the milk, because that's the price that's going for, and it's the only place that you can buy milk right now.
So you can't just come back empty-handed.
No, I mean, it was too much. It was $7. You want me to pay $7 for milk, and you get home, and your wife goes, yes, it's Christmas morning. We need the milk. What, you just left because it was too expensive? This is what A.J. Preller, he is shopping at Whole Foods. The prices are outrageous, but he needs a relief pitcher, and he goes, all right, I guess I have to pay it because there's no other stores that are open that are selling relief pitchers, and this is the price they're asking for this one.
Why do I feel like Ben has actually gone to the store to buy milk and said, I'm not paying $7 for milk, and then came home and got his ass chewed out?
I have. He knows from experience.
But I know on Christmas, like Eve, when they need milk, then I've got to pay it because there's no other choice. You got to do it. It's organic. Absolutely.
Junior says milk spoils. Yeah, but the expiration date on Jason Adam is 2 years. So that's what
this
we
is
got
the kind that comes in the big like glass jug of milk. Are you kidding me?
I bought that. Speaking of, not to get too off topic, but I bought some of that glass jug chocolate milk at it was either Whole Foods or Lazy Acres once.
See how the other half lives?
And I did. I go, it looked so appetizing. And I was like, well, I'll just have a sip of this. And I had a sip. I was like, oh my God! It was erotic, and by the time I got home, it was gone. I mean, so you get what you pay for, and hopefully he comes in, slots in perfectly at the back end of the bullpen, and we should see him tomorrow. I would imagine against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. That he'll be available and ready. Padres bullpen, you know, pretty good shape. But we'll talk about the Dodgers series. We got a couple of days to do that. I want to get into the road trip.
Woo!
And the weekend that was against the Baltimore Orioles. Yes, it's another Sunday loss for your San Diego Padres. Last week's respite was unfortunately brief, and they're right back to their losing ways on Sunday.
But. Doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be upset about a Sunday loss.
We do have rules, though.
We do have rules.
Padres wrap-up goes on.
It goes on.
We can't play the winning wrap-up. They lost the game.
They lost the game, but we can do it differently.
We can have some fun with it.
Because that's what we do.
Maybe a new theme song.
We're going to make it work for us now.
That's right.
Sunday loss is going to work for us when we come back with Ben and Woods at 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If your supply chain demands a flexible workforce, hire with Express Employment Professionals. With contract and full-time workers from Express Employment, you get the staff you need and manage contingent labor costs. Learn more at expresspros.com. That's expresspros.com. All year long, we have, let's be honest, rolled our eyes at Mike Schilt's looking on the bright side.
Yes.
Glasses half full,
yes.
Rose-colored glasses,
yes.
Analysis of the Padres, 51 losses now? 57 wins, 51 losses? Every single one of those, 51 losses. Greatest loss we've ever seen. I kind of agree with him yesterday. He's kind of right. Yesterday's loss was a good Mike Schilt loss.
I said to you, before the show started, I looked at you and I said, yesterday was the... It's a definition of a moral victory, wasn't it? And you go, yeah, it was. Hey, I hate moral victories, too, until I don't. How about that? I hate them until I don't. And I did not hate that loss yesterday. In fact, I was rather impressed. So many things went the Orioles' way yesterday. So many things bounced their way. And they still all... Right?
Yeah. Great plays in the field by the Orioles.
Cedric Mullins robbing Manny Machado. Manny Machado wearing a ball in the dome yesterday. So many things broke their way, and we still had them you know, holding their stomachs, man, like thinking they were going to lose that game. So I get it. But to cap off that road trip with that much fight, when on a Sunday after a really successful road trip, you could have been like, what are we down? 4-0. We're into the bullpen right now. Eniel De Los Santos is in. Bro, let's fold them up, man. Let's get back to San Diego. We got the Dodgers.
Pull the starters. Get them extra rest.
Yeah, let's go.
Vasquez's been pitching pretty well, but you just like, doesn't have it today.
Doesn't have it today. Those are going to happen.
Hell of a road trip.
Those games are going to happen, and the next thing I know, we have a baseball game yesterday, and we have it on in the dugout. Next thing I know, it's Bogey's hit a bomb at 6-5, and I'm like, what? And they're right back in this thing, man. So again, you know, I understand. It would feel very icky to me to come in here this morning to can't close the deal again. Like, it's not who I am.
With that in mind, we're going to have a little fun, and we're going to kind of modify our Padres wrap-up. But we will get to the highlights right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
So let me ask you this.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Well, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Ooh. It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
You got 16 minutes of salt and then, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Runners lead at all three bases. Vasquez is set and ready to pitch. Anderson takes outside ball four. Curveball backed up, just missed. Third walk of the inning, and this one will give the Orioles a 1-0 lead as James McCann walks home to score. First pitch to him, swung on, hit in the air left field. Profar in and towards the line, long run, can't get there, drops down a fair ball. Couser has scored. Santander will stop at third base as the throw comes in. Everybody had to kind of wait and see if it was going to be caught. But O'Hearn goes the other way, dumps it in, and a 2-0 Oriole lead here in the third. Here's the pitch. Outcastle swings, lines it over Cronenworth into right field, base hit. Santander has scored. They're going to wave Henderson. Throw from Peralta's up the first baseline. A two-run single for Mountcastle. 4-0 Orioles in the third, and still nobody out. First pitch, lined into right center field, and that's going to get down. That's going to bounce. That's going to roll all the way to the base of the wall. O'Hearn has scored. Mountcastle's right behind him. No chance. A two-run double for Cedric Mullins, who's now driven in six in the last 2 days, and the Oriole lead is 6-0. As Kim hits this one in the air down the left field line, Couser not going to get there. That's a fair ball, and it drops down. Merrill scores. Peralta's on his way to third, safe as the throw comes in. Second double of the inning for the Padres, and a 6-1 game here in the fifth. Higashioka swings, lines it towards Henderson. He can't make the catch.
Weird.
And it's into left field. Peralta comes in to score. Kim goes to third, and it's a 6-2 game. 1-1 pitch, hit in the air to deep left field. Couser going back, still going back by the big wall. Looking up, going to go! Home run, Xander Bogaerts! Over the big fence in left, a two-run shot, and now a one-run game.
This team does not go away.
Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on, hit hard on the ground, through the left side, and a base hit. Santander has scored. Rutschman's on his way. A two-run single for Mountcastle, and now an 8-5 lead. 2-2 to Profar. Pitch on the way. Jurickson swings, bounces it over the mound. Charged by Henderson near the bag. Steps on second, and a hard slide by Wade. What are they going to call? Wade, I think, is going to be called for interfering on the defensive play, and that's going to be a double play to end the game, which the Padres will obviously challenge.
After review, the call on the field is overturned. There is no violation of the slide rule at second base. The runner will be placed at first, third, and score.
And a 2-2 hit hard, but right to the second baseman, Westberg. His throw to first is in time, and the ball game is over. Padres made it interesting all day long, but they could not quite come all the way back. And the seven-game winning streak comes to a close. But still, a phenomenal road trip by the Padres, who take 2 out of 3 in Cleveland, sweep a three-game series in Washington, and take 2 out of 3 here in Baltimore.
Could easily, the last day of a 10-day trip,
with, you know, that's very fruitful, said, you know, we've got ours, we're good, down 6-0, let's just kind of go through the motions. This group has none of that, has zero in that in them. And I love the fact, you know, if you're up and you're playing well, you want more. And the hunger from this group and the competitive spirit, the admiration for what took place today, and there was not a person in that dugout that didn't think we were going to come back and win that game.
Love it, man. I do. I'm sorry. I'm the Kool-Aid. You poured it, and I'm drinking it right now. I really am, and I don't know what's going to happen when I leave tomorrow. Hopefully, the Rally Roach continues his magic ways, and we keep rolling because that's a you know, a couple of good pitchers coming in, but we've got a couple of good pitchers going up against them as well, and we got a lineup that's clicking right now. So was very, very pleased by that road trip. I don't know how you could be anything but. I really thought this is such a make or break week for the San Diego Padres, and they made it, man. 7-2 is just, again, against the Guardians, who don't really lose much, you know, at all. They really don't lose at home very much. And against the Baltimore Orioles. It's incredible.
When the Padres got to Baltimore, and you know, I was listening to Friday night's game, and they keep saying, oh, this guy's coming up. He's got 29 homers, then 28 homers, and 17 homers. And you know, look at their pitching staff. It's really good. And I'm going, this is a phenomenal team. What?
Yes.
Where's the weakness on this team?
Correct.
They do have some inconsistency to them. Like, Gunnar Henderson is a fantastic player, but there were a lot of mistakes made.
Tons.
I mean, the drop pop-up on Saturday, a number of throwing, or just wild throws. They lack a little bit of discipline that may keep them from going all the way. There's still some improvement to be made there. This is a very talented team. I know that, you know, Henderson at that last play, that we just heard it in the ninth inning, the call that was overturned. There was a bit of a flop there by Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
It's a smart play.
Smart play.
He knows he's not getting Profar likely at first base. So there's only one way to get that out. It's to get an interference call. So he kind of sticks his foot into the path where Tyler Wade is sliding, takes a big tumble. And then that requires what? It requires first the umpire to be fooled and make the call of interference. And then it requires the replay guys to probably make a bad call in New York and uphold it. They got the first. They didn't get the second. It was smart for him to try that because likely Jurickson and Profar was going to be safe at first. So I thought he totally took a soccer-style dive on that one.
Smart move.
Kind of overacted a little bit.
Yeah.
They should have caught that on the field right away going, come on, dude. You're totally trying to draw a call here instead of make a play at first base. The fact that he didn't even throw it, like he knew he was never throwing it. He knew he was simply trying to draw an interference call because it was a very slowly hit ball.
Yeah, it's
and it would have been hard to turn the double play, but smart. Why not take a try and see if you can fool somebody?
Good smart baseball play on his end and a good smart hard slide by Tyler Wade directly into the bag. We are at that point where they're going to look at all of those things. I mean, they are going to look, especially if they feel that there was, you know, illegal contact and all that. But man, again, I can't belabor the point enough. A 7-2 road trip against the teams that they played was really, really spectacular. And now you look at it and it puts the pressure squarely on the back of AJ Preller, over these next couple of days to continue to fortify this team. And I know we talked about the nugget that Kevin Acey had in his newsletter today about Joe Musgrove. There's a nugget in there talking about him potentially being able to come back a little bit sooner than we thought. I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, look, yes, if he comes back and he's vintage Joe Musgrove, brilliant. If he comes back and it's a little bit more, you know, I got 45 pitches or 50 pitches I can throw, and now I'm hurt again, I'd rather, like with the off days that we have this week alone, I mean, you can be creative, but when you can get a guy like Joe Musgrove back, if he is in fact feeling healthy and he's spinning it well and the velo's up, yeah, man, that's a huge lift for this team.
Well, I just read it. So Joe is going to throw tomorrow, I believe, in Arizona against live hitters and try to get, what, 30 pitches, 35 pitches. Then he said, okay, now there's two options after that. I feel pretty good right now, though. If that goes well, I could just come back and make my next start on the big league level. Now, it'll be kind of a rehab start in that he'll only be able to throw
50.
Three innings or so,
yeah,
if he does that. But if they need me to do that, he feels like I could be ready to do that by, you know, Saturday or Sunday against the Colorado Rockies over the weekend. What's more likely to happen is that he'll go and stretch out at least one rehab start in the minor leagues, and then maybe the following week when the Padres go back out on the road, Joe could come back there, or two rehab starts, and then he's ready to go five innings or so. He's obviously, he knows if he comes back with three innings, he's putting the bullpen in a potentially bad situation. Yeah. So, but if, you know,
if
someone
Cease goes eight or something, the day before,
or like, someone else goes down and they're kind of in a jam and they need three innings from someone, he might be able to do it by next weekend, which is when he is eligible to come off the 60-day injured list.
Ivan makes the point in our chat that was probably the talk of the Tier 1 dugout yesterday at Vista Sports Complex, and that was the decision by Ha-Sung Kim to try to steal third base there. And
Yikes. Can't have that.
With Luis Arraez at the dish, you can't defend that. You're in scoring position. You score on anything he hits.
If it's someone other than Arraez...
Yeah,
I mean, there's one out, you get to third, you score on a fly ball, you score on a ground ball potentially. There is value in getting to third base with one out. So in baseball terms, it's not the worst risk to take if you think you've got a good jump. The rise up, obviously, he's going to get a lot of hits. Now, I don't necessarily agree that he would have scored on that single. It would have been right in front of Kim at second base, so he would have had to hell for a second for it to get through. And the left fielder was playing shallow, and it wasn't hit very far. I think it would have been first and now first and third, one out is a better situation than runner at first and two outs because you got thrown out at third. It's never a good idea to get thrown out on any base paths, but you know when you do steal bases, you're going to get thrown out occasionally.
You know, I didn't, and again, Ben, it's situational. Beginning of the year.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If your supply chain demands a flexible workforce, hire with Express Employment Professionals. With contract and full-time workers from Express Employment, you get the staff you need and manage contingent labor costs. Learn more at expresspros.com. That's expresspros.com. All right, all year long, we have, let's be honest, rolled our eyes at Mike Schilt's looking on the bright side.
Yes.
Glasses half full,
yes.
Rose-colored glasses,
yes.
Analysis of the Padres, what, 51 losses now? 57 wins, 51 losses? Every single one of those, 51 losses. Greatest loss we've ever seen. I kind of agree with him yesterday. He's kind of right. Yesterday's loss was a good Mike Schilt loss.
I said to you, before the show started, I looked at you and I said, yesterday was the... It's a definition of a moral victory, wasn't it? And you go, yeah, yeah, it was. Hey, I hate moral victories, too, until I don't. How about that? I hate them until I don't. And I did not hate that loss yesterday. In fact, I was rather impressed. So many things went the Orioles' way yesterday. So many things bounced their way. And they still all... Right?
Yeah. Great plays in the field by the Orioles.
Cedric Mullins robbing Manny Machado. Manny Machado wearing a ball in the dome yesterday. So many things broke their way, and we still had them, you know, holding their stomachs, man, like thinking they were going to lose that game. So I get it. But to cap off that road trip with that much fight, when on a Sunday after a really successful road trip, you could have been like, what are we down? 4-0. We're into the bullpen right now. Eniel De Los Santos is in, bro. Let's fold them up, man. Let's get back to San Diego. We got the Dodgers.
Pull
coming
the starters. Get them extra rest.
Yeah, let's go.
Bro, Vasquez's
been pitching pretty well, but you're just like, I doesn't have it.
Doesn't
today.
Have it today. Those
oh well.
Are gonna happen.
Hey,
those,
hell of a road trip.
Those
boys.
Games are gonna happen, and the next thing I know, we have a baseball game yesterday, and we have it on in the dugout. Next thing I know, it's Bogey. You hit a bomb at 6-5, and I'm like, what? And they're right back in this thing, man. So, again, you know, I understand. I just, it would feel very icky to me to come in here this morning to, can't close the deal again. Like, it's not who I am.
With that in mind, we're going to have a little fun, and we're going to kind of modify our Padres wrap-up. But
got
we will
you.
Get to the highlights right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
So, let me assist me.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Well, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you f***ing kidding me?
Ooh.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino. Fun above all else.
You got 16 minutes of salt in the room, you know? Get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Runners lead at all three bases. Vasquez is set and ready to pitch. Henderson takes outside ball four. Curveball backed up, just missed. Third walk of the inning, and this one will give the Orioles a 1-0 lead as James McCann walks home to score. First pitch to him, swung on, hit in the air left field. Throw far in and towards the line, long run, can't get there, drops down a fair ball. Couser has scored, Santander will stop at third base as the throw comes in. Everybody had to kind of wait and see if it was going to be caught. But O'Hearn goes the other way, dumps it in, and a 2-0 Oriole lead here in the third. Here's the pitch. Outcastle swings, lines it over Cronenworth into right field, base hit. Santander has scored. They're going to wave Henderson. Throw from Peralta's up the first base line. A two-run single for Mountcastle. 4-0 Orioles in the third, and still nobody out. First pitch, lined into right center field, and that's going to get down. That's going to bounce. That's going to roll all the way to the base of the wall. O'Hearn has scored. Mountcastle's right behind him. No chance. A two-run double for Cedric Mullins, who's now driven in six in the last 2 days, and the Oriole lead is 6-0. As Kim hits this one in the air down the left field line, Couser not going to get there. That's a fair ball, and it drops down. Merrill scores. Peralta's on his way to third, safe as the throw comes in. Second double of the inning for the Padres, and a 6-1 game here in the fifth. Higashioka swings, lines it towards Henderson. He can't make the catch, and it's into left field. Peralta comes in to score. Kim goes to third, and it's a 6-2 game. 1-1 pitch hit in the air to deep left field. Couser going back, still going back by the big wall. Looking up, going to go! Home run, Xander Bogaerts! Over the big fence in left, a two-run shot, and now a one-run game.
This team does not go away.
Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on, hit hard on the ground, through the left side, and a base hit. Santander has scored. Rutschman's on his way. A two-run single for Mountcastle, and now an 8-5 lead. 2-2 to Profar. Pitch on the way. Jurickson swings, bounces it over the mound. Charged by Henderson near the bag. Steps on second, and a hard slide by Wade. What are they going to call? Wade, I think, is going to be called for interfering on the defensive play, and that's going to be a double play to end the game, which the Padres will obviously challenge.
After review, the call on the field is overturned. There is no violation of the slide rule at second base. The runner will be placed at first, third, and score.
And the 2-2 hit hard, but right to the second baseman, Westberg. His throw to first is in time, and the ball game is over. Padres made it interesting all day long, but they could not quite come all the way back. And the seven-game winning streak comes to a close. But still, a phenomenal road trip by the Padres, who take 2 out of 3 in Cleveland, sweep a three-game series in Washington, and take 2 out of 3 here in Baltimore.
Could easily, the last day of a 10-day trip, with, you know, this very fruitful, said, you know, we've got ours, we're good, down 6-0. Let's just kind of go through the motions. This group has none of that. It has zero in them. And I love the fact, you know, if you're up and you're playing well, you want more. And the hunger from this group and the competitive spirit, the admiration for what took place today. And there was not a person in that dugout that didn't think we were going to come back and win that game.
Love it, man. I do. I'm sorry. I'm the Kool-Aid, you poured it, and I'm drinking it right now. I really am, and I don't know what's going to happen when I leave tomorrow. Hopefully, the Rally Roach continues his magic ways, and we keep rolling because that's a you know, a couple of good pitchers coming in, but we've got a couple of good pitchers going up against them as well, and we got a lineup that's clicking right now. So, was very, very pleased by that road trip. I don't know how you could be anything but. I really thought this is such a make or break week for the San Diego Padres, and they made it, man. 7-2 is just, again, against the Guardians, who don't really lose much, you know, at all. They really don't lose at home very much. And against the Baltimore Orioles. It's incredible.
When the Padres got to Baltimore, and you know, I was listening to Friday night's game, and they keep saying, oh, this guy's coming up. He's got 29 homers, then 28 homers, and 17 homers. And you know, look at their pitching staff. It's really good. And I'm going, this is a phenomenal team. What?
Yes.
Where's the weakness on this team?
Correct.
they do have some inconsistency to them. Like, Gunnar Henderson is a fantastic player, but there were a lot of mistakes made.
Tons.
I mean, the drop pop-up on Saturday, a number of throwing, or just wild throws. They lack a little bit of discipline that may keep them from going all the way. There's still some improvement to be made there. This is a very talented team. I know that, you know, Henderson, at that last play, that we just heard it in the ninth inning, the call that was overturned. There was a bit of a flop there by Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
It's a smart play.
Smart play.
He knows he's not getting Profar likely at first base. So there's only one way to get that out. It's to get an interference call. So he kind of sticks his foot into the path where Tyler Wade is sliding, takes a big tumble, and then that requires what? It requires first the umpire to be fooled and make the call of interference, and then it requires the replay guys to probably make a bad call in New York and uphold it. They got the first, they didn't get the second. It was smart for him to try that because likely Jurickson and Profar was going to be safe at first. So I thought he totally took a soccer-style dive on that one.
Smart move.
Kind of overacted a little bit.
Yeah.
They should have caught that on the field right away going, come on, dude. You're totally trying to draw a call here instead of make a play at first base. The fact that he didn't even throw it, like he knew he was never throwing it. He knew he was simply trying to draw an interference call because it was a very slowly hit ball.
Yeah, it's
and it would have been hard to turn the double play, but smart. Why not take a try and see if you can fool somebody?
Good smart baseball play on his end and a good smart hard slide by Tyler Wade directly into the bag. We are at that point where they're going to look at all of those things. I mean, they are going to look, especially if they feel that there was, you know, illegal contact and all that. But man, again, I can't belabor the point enough. A 7-2 road trip against the teams that they played was really, really spectacular. And now you look at it and it puts the pressure squarely on the back of AJ Preller, over these next couple of days to continue to fortify this team. And I know we talked about the nugget that Kevin Acey had in his newsletter today about Joe Musgrove. There's a nugget in there talking about him potentially being able to come back a little bit sooner than we thought. I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, look, yes, if he comes back and he's vintage Joe Musgrove, brilliant. If he comes back and it's a little bit more, I got 45 pitches or 50 pitches I can throw, and now I'm hurt again. I'd rather, like with the off days that we have this week alone, I mean, you can be creative. But when you can get a guy like Joe Musgrove back, if he is in fact feeling healthy and he's spinning it well and the velo's up, yeah, man, that's a huge lift for this team.
Well, I just read it. So Joe is going to throw tomorrow, I believe, in Arizona against live hitters and try to get, what, 30 pitches, 35 pitches. Then he said, okay, now there's two options after that. I feel pretty good right now, though. If that goes well, I could just come back and make my next start on the big league level. Now, it'll be kind of a rehab start in that he'll only be able to throw
50.
Three innings or so,
yeah,
if he does that. But if they need me to do that, he feels like I could be ready to do that by, you know, Saturday or Sunday against the Colorado Rockies over the weekend. What's more likely to happen is that he'll go and stretch out at least one rehab start in the minor leagues, and then maybe the following week when the Padres go back out on the road, Joe could come back there or two rehab starts, and then he's ready to go five innings or so. Obviously, he knows if he comes back with three innings, he's putting the bullpen in a potentially bad situation.
Yeah.
So, but if, you know,
if
someone
goes eight or something, the day before,
or someone else goes down and they're kind of in a jam and they need three innings from someone, he might be able to do it by next weekend, which is when he is eligible to come off the 60-day injured list.
Ivan makes the point in our chat that was probably the talk of the Tier 1 dugout yesterday at Vista Sports Complex, and that was the decision by Ha-Sung Kim to try to steal third base there. And
Yikes. Can't have that.
With Luis Arraez at the dish, you can't defend that. You're in scoring position. You score on anything he hits.
If it's someone other than Arraez,
yeah,
I mean, there's one out, you get to third, you score on a fly ball, you score on a ground ball potentially. There is value in getting to third base with one out. So in baseball terms, it's not the worst risk to take if you think you've got a good jump. The rise up, obviously, he's going to get a lot of hits. Now, I don't necessarily agree that he would have scored on that single. It would have been right in front of Kim at second base, so he would have had to hell for a second for it to get through. And the left fielder was playing shallow, and it wasn't hit very far. I think it would have been first and third, one out is a better situation than runner at first and two outs because
right.
you got thrown out at third. It's never a good idea to get thrown out on any base
no.
paths, but you know when you do steal bases, you're going to get thrown out occasionally.
You know, I didn't, and again, Ben, it's situational. Beginning of the year, offense is slumping a little bit. You're trying to make something happen. You know, you can, all right, well, guys are pressing a little bit. They're trying to make something happen. The offense has been fine, more than fine. Like, the front door's open for the catcher, so you lefty batter up. I'm staring down. Every catcher makes that throw. I mean, unless it is straight, unless the dude's in the windup, you know, like, there's just no real reason for that. And now, if he makes it, hey, and that's the nature of the game. If you make it, well, what a heads-up, gutsy play by Ha-Sung Kim. He didn't make
Love
it.
Love the aggression.
Love the aggression there. No, he didn't make it. Then it turns into a bonehead play.
If I have a concern from yesterday's game, it's possibly Adrian Morihone giving a little bit of ground lately. And
yes.
while they just fortified the bullpen
yeah.
with Jason Adams.
Maybe that helps.
He's really the only, I mean, he's the best left-handed option they've
yeah.
had. Yuki Matsui's pitched a little bit better lately, but he's your highest leverage lefty now. And the last two times out, he gave up the lead on Friday with the home run to Santander and then left the runner at third that scored on the sac fly allowed by Robert Suarez and then gives up two critical runs, what turned out to be important insurance runs in a rally. Now, maybe that's just a one-off and Adrian's still fine, but he hasn't really been around for a whole season ever, you know, in his big league career. And I'm sure there's some concern about how strong Adrian Morihone's going to finish this year, which is why so important to fortify the bullpen, because you can't be totally sure as what you're going to get in August and September from Adrian Morihone. That, to me, my biggest just kind of nagging worry from the weekend, just seeing him not be quite as sharp as he's really been great the last couple of months.
He has been.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the anytime somebody's on a good roll and they blink, you know, and they blink a couple of times, you're like, ooh, I hope this isn't a harbinger of things
sure.
to come. But with Jason Adam coming in, that should absolutely help. So, yeah, man, there's a lot to be positive about, certainly. And, yeah, we can pick at the negative scab as well, certainly.
We'll get to some of the other games from the weekend coming up. I also want to talk about all the other trades that went down as well. We can mention some of the biggies, some of the head scratchers as well from the weekend, and take on Woods. Our first game of the week is coming up at 7:10. All ahead, don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.